Our last series was Roadmap to Change, and we made these little handouts. If you didn't get one, I've got a few up here, and somebody can come and hand them out. If you didn't get one, raise your hands, and it's just a little thing you can write down. Again, the first step to Roadmap to Change was that you have to discover what God wants you to change, right? And then you need a plan, then you need to implement the plan, and create accountability to the plan, and then you need to measure your progress. Anyway, that was awesome, and God is so good and so faithful to us, amen? But I want to talk to you now about the fact that if God puts a plan in your heart for change, He also gives you the power to change. Let me say that again over here because this side wasn't too excited. Listen, if God gives you a plan to change, He also gives you the power to change. Right? So you're not on your own. This is not like, I'm just going to grunt and groan and strain and moan. Oh, God, I got to change. I can't change. Lord, I tried. I can't. Quit it. God is the one who will give you the power to change. And we're going to talk this morning about faith for change. Did you know all that God gives you, all the grace that God gives you, is because He loves you and He wants to give it to you? But all of the grace is accessed the same way, by faith. By faith. And we're going to talk about that this morning. But before we get there, I want to read a couple of scriptures for you. If you'll turn to Romans chapter 5. Hallelujah. And let's look at verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through one. That's talking about Adam. Do you know that when Adam fell, that sin came into the earth? And I don't want to go into that real deeply, but the fact is we all have been polluted by Adam's fall because he represented mankind. So if by one man's offense death reigned through one, much more, everybody say much more. You know, I wasn't a math major in school, but I figured out that much more is a lot better than much less. Right? If I got much more, it's better than. So much more means more than enough. Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let me just break that down a little bit. How do you receive the abundance of grace? You believe. First, come on, we're going to look at it in a minute, but we're saved by grace through faith. It's our believing in what Jesus said that gets us to the abundance of grace. But if we have that abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, you know what righteousness means? It means right standing with. And again, I could go for an hour on each one of these phrases, but I'm not going to. I'm going to discipline myself not to. But the gift of righteousness, what does that mean? That I am in right standing with God. That's not because I'm good. It's because He's good. And I'm not coming in the fact that I am good enough to earn right standing with God. I am coming because Jesus took my place. He took my sin so that I could receive His righteousness. So the righteousness that you and I stand in, if we're believers, is His righteousness. So let me read that again. Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will. Everybody say will. That's not might. That's not if something happens. That says we will reign in life through one Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but reigning to me doesn't mean, oh boy, I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe God will come through, maybe He won't, you never know. And this says reigning in life, right? we're going to reign for eternity with him. But we're supposed to be reigning in this life. Right? So faith for change, we've got to get the understanding that even my ability to change is because he's in me. And because he's given me his grace. I love the word grace. That means God's graciousness to me. Have you ever been around somebody that's gracious? It's called the gift of graciousness and grace. Gracious is that person that you can be around and they just make you feel like they're your best friend ever been. And they might have just met you for a few minutes, but they're sincere about it. It's not phony. It's not put on. It's not a salesman thing, but they're just gracious. That's how God is to you. That's how God is to me. You know, you're not coming into his throne room and he's going, oh, is it you again? No, he's going, come on in. Because the blood has made you worthy to come in. Right? Skip down to verse 20. Verse 20. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that in sin reigned in death, even so, grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's a component here that we have an assurance of where we're going because Jesus paid the price for us. But there's a reigning thing. We are kings and priests in the kingdom, in the kingdom of God. And we need to start acting like it. Listen. I need to begin to declare what God has done in my life. Right? And so do you. So do you. Let me just give you a couple things here. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. It says this, whoever is born of God overcometh the world. Let me say that again. Are you born of God? Have you become born again? Did you make Jesus the Lord of your life? Did you put your faith in his death, burial, and resurrection? Then you're one who overcomes the world. And I want to just use a little bit of license here. It's not just that you overcome the world. You overcome everything that's identified with the world system. What do I mean by that? I mean that God has already put the power in us to change because he's given us the power to do it. And there's some obstacles, there's no doubt about it. And we have an enemy and we have the flesh and we have all of those things. But I need you to understand that in your spirit man, because we are a spirit, we have a soul and we live in a body, and our flesh is always trying to mess us up. But in your spirit, man, he considers you already perfect. He who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that he's the Son of God? Do you believe that? Then you overcome the world. You overcome those things that God wants you to change. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's gluttony. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's... You've got to understand that because you're born again, because you're in him, because you believe in the Son of God, we are overcomers. Come on. Say that with me. I'm an overcomer. It doesn't matter whether you feel like you're an overcomer. See, you can have depression all around you. And if you don't allow the Spirit of God to get in there and start speaking out of your spirit, your soul will come in line with that depression and just take you further and further and further and further. And some say, well, you don't understand, it's chemical. I understand that, and I thank God for all the medications and all that. But the reality is, the same one who saved me from my sin has also healed me in my mind and my body. Psalms 105 verse 3 says, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all of my iniquity and heals all of my diseases. What am I saying? We need to begin to understand that there's a pathway to victory in change. And that's through our relationship and identification with Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's talk about faith. And sometimes I think, you know, we're trying to gain more faith and all of that. And there's a place for that. But what I'm saying today is that your faith is a lot stronger than you know.
Right.
Your faith. Well, you know, my faith is weak. Not so, my friend. Here's what we need to get rid of is our unbelief.
Yes.
And I'll go through that in just a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But verse 1, this is the definition of faith. It says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Let me say that again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now hope and faith are not the same thing. And the hope that it's talking about here isn't that, well, I wish it would happen. The hope that it's talking about here is a confident expectation based on something that God has said. Right? My hope is in Him. He is our hope. We have this great hope that He who went away is coming back. And when He goes, I'm going with Him. Right? Because that hope is based on what He said. Now watch this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. What does that mean? If you can see it, feel it, touch it, or you can drive down the street and get it, that's not faith. That's not faith. I've got it. Right? It's here. I can show it to you. But faith is, even though I don't see it, even though I don't feel it, I have this expectation that what God said He would do, He's going to do. And not only is He going to do it, I have the evidence that it's already mine because He's given it to me. Now down in verse 6 it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What is that saying? God is a rewarder. Let me just paint this picture for you. If I lost my wallet and you gave it back to me, I would give you a reward for that. But based on my limitations, that reward wouldn't be as great as if Bill Gates lost his wallet. Do you hear what I'm saying? Well, Bill Gates is poor compared to God. Right? Now watch this. God is a good God. God is a good God. I want to please God. How about you? Right? I want to please God. How about you? This says that you don't please God by your good works. I'm not saying that good works are bad. I'm saying that what pleases God is when you believe Him. When you have confidence in Him. Go back to verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. God, I have an expectation that when I die, I'm going to be in heaven with You. When I die, Lord, and I believe, Lord, with all of my heart that You're coming back because Your word says that Jesus is going to split the eastern sky and that we're going to see Him. I don't know about you, but every once in a while we get those days where those fluffy clouds are out there, right? I'm looking to the east to see if I can see Him. Based on that scripture, right? Because he's coming. I have a hope that that's going to be. He may not come for a year, 10 years, 100. I'm not exactly sure. I think we're really close, but I'm not sure. But I know he's coming. And some say, well, what about the rapture? When is the rapture? I have my own views on that, but I don't care. Because here's my theory. Here's my theology. When he comes, I'm going. Right? And I think it's important to have that, but I'm not into that today. But watch this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. I want to give you a couple of different versions. The NLT says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things we cannot see. The New American Standard says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Yep. Here's another one. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the proof of things not seen. How do you know you're saved? I know I'm saved. How do you know you're saved? Because I know it. Well, how do you know it? Jesus didn't come down and appear to you, did he? You know, what is your reality on that you are now a new creature in Christ Jesus? It's because I believed. And if you said, did he come down and visit you? Absolutely. Did you see him face to face? Well, absolutely. But not in the way that you're thinking of. He didn't appear before me. I've never seen a vision. I've never seen any of that. But the Holy Spirit came and spoke into my heart. And when he spoke into my heart, I answered that call. When I answered that call, my faith was in what he was telling me. Right. And so I can absolutely say without a shadow of a doubt that if I were to, die this instant, I'd be with Jesus. Right? Forever. And ever and ever. So faith, again, is the conviction or the proof or the assurance of the things that we cannot see, we cannot taste, we cannot touch. But our hope is because God has promised it and we can stand in it and for it. Amen? Now, go with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. This is so wonderful. And most of you could quote these particular verses of Scripture, but I want us to look at them. She's singing to me this morning. I like it. You didn't? Yeah. I told those guys 9, but I'm going to start in verse 8. Romans 10, verse 8, it says, but what does it say? The word is near you. In your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. The word is near you. This morning, the word is near you. I'm speaking under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and the word is near you. Now listen to this, what it goes on to say. It's in your mouth and in your heart. Two different places. We talked about the heart for a month at the beginning of the year. You should go back and listen to that, but listen to this now. That if you confess, and the word confess here means saying the same thing. Saying the same thing. In other words, you're in total agreement with what God has said. If you confess with your mouth, not my mouth, not your daddy's mouth, not your mama's mouth, not your grandma's mouth, but your mouth. If you'll confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that word saved is not just about, it is about, and thank God for that, that my sins are taken care of and I can go to heaven to be with Jesus. That word salvation means that you're surrounded right now with everything that God has produced through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It speaks of your righteousness. It speaks of your redemption. It speaks of your justification. It speaks of the fact that the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. You're delivered. You're healed. He'll take care of you. So good. Watch this again. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, everybody say the heart, one believes, right, unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is so important. Again, look at it. It says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness. What does that mean? Again, we're spirit, soul, and body. What this is saying, in our heart of hearts, there's a point that the Holy Spirit came to you, came to me, and he convicted you of your need for Jesus. And at that point, the word was very near you. It was right at the entrance of your heart, and you opened that door to Jesus, right? And so you believed, yes, it's true that Jesus is and was the Messiah, and that I'm a sinner and I need his grace and I need to be forgiven. And so right now I enter into the covenant that God made with his son. And because I believe in my heart, I'm now saying with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus, and I give you my life completely, 100%. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him shall not be put to shame. I want to just give you some observations here. Sometimes we go, you know, if I just had enough faith, I could be healed. If I just had enough faith, God would provide for me. If I just had enough faith, There's some truth in that, but I want you to see something. The greatest miracle that you could experience is being transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The greatest miracle that you could ever have is when your sins were completely forgiven and you have been made right with God without spot or wrinkle because of the blood. Now watch this. If our confessing with our mouth what we believe in our heart got us that, then you have faith. And you had enough faith to get the very best promise that God could ever give. What am I saying? You need to begin to have confidence in what you have on the inside. I can believe because I'm a believer. That's really deep, but let me give it to you one more time. It's natural in my spirit to believe because I'm a believer. I'm not going to sing the monkey sign. Hey, hey, I'm a believer. But listen. You are a believer. But the enemy wants you to get over into the realm that, no, I'm not a believer. Or I'm not as good a believer as this one. Or I'm not a good as believe. Listen, your belief got you saved. Your belief absolutely floored all of heaven. Why? Because you were lost and now you're saved. Look what the Lord has done. What am I saying? I'm saying that we need to start have confidence in the fact that God gave us faith. I didn't turn there, but I'll turn back just and I'll read it. In Romans chapter 12, just a couple of pages if you have your Bible. In verse 3 it says, for though I say through the grace given to me, everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly on purpose as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now, just think about this for a minute. I have a measure of faith. God has dealt to me a measure of faith. Well, how much faith does it take? Jesus, in one of the parables, and when he's talking to the disciples, he said, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, and many of you have seen the picture, but a mustard seed is barely noticeable. It's really, really tiny. And what are you saying? Your faith is enough. Your faith is enough. Enough for what? In what we're talking about, your faith is enough to get you from where you are to where God wants you to be. It's enough to get rid of that anger. It's enough to get rid of that lust. It's enough to get over anything, that feeling of being worthless, that feeling of being a victim. Oh, God has given you enough faith. You just need to open your eyes to what He said and enter into it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go down to verse 16 of Romans chapter 10. It says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For the Lord said, who has believed our report? You are saved because you believe the gospel. Now watch this. Watch this and listen. This is so good. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I know, and I've prayed it before, people for years and years praying, Lord, I just need more faith. Give me more faith. Give me more faith. Give me more faith. And he said, that's not how faith comes. That's not how faith comes. How does faith come? By hearing. But hearing what? Hearing the word. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible promise? You can't have faith in something that God has given you without the scripture to back up what he said. You know, there's some people who say, well, I've got great faith. Bless God, I'm going to believe for your car. Well, if God told me to, I'd give you my car. I've done it before. But the bottom line is that's not promised in Scripture. But once you have an established case based on Scripture, then you can believe God for it. Because you've heard the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, there's many avenues we could go down, and in the next few weeks we'll discuss more of it. But it says faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. In other words, you have to be able to hear it and hear it. And just one aspect, one layer of it is this. I can hear with my physical ears, but not hear with my spiritual ears. Right? I can hear a word that's coming and, you know, it's just too good to be true. That can't be for me. That's only for pastor, because after all, he's the anointed one. I'm not the anointed one. Jesus is the anointed one. And the same Jesus that's in me is in you. And so everything we receive is because of the anointed one being with us and in us. So what I'm saying is, I need to apply the word of God to myself, and it's always through my identification with Jesus. But if he's promised it, then I can have it. If he said it, then I can do it. Right? Now again, watch this. If he said that you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who strengthens you, what are you? More than a conqueror. Now, and that's in Romans chapter 8. But watch this. Even before those verses, Paul was talking about, man, I've been shipwrecked. I've been persecuted. I've been abandoned. All of this. But yea, in all of these things, I'm more than a conqueror. Why? Because he didn't look at the circumstances around him. He only looked at the relationship that he had with the Father through Jesus Christ. So what I'm saying is, if we're going to get out of victimization, we have to quit looking at the circumstances and begin to look at the one who's delivered us from them. As long as you keep speaking out of your mouth about being a victim, you'll remain one. But when you begin to see that, no, God has done something inside of me that's made me different, that's made me a new man in Christ Jesus, then God, I'm not who I was, but I am who you made me to be. And that's what I'm going to believe. I may not see it naturally yet. I may not have that anger completely dealt with yet, but I see myself in you. And I see myself as delivered. I see myself as free of this. In Jesus' name. Go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. I am a product, and God sent me to Rhema Bible Training College. And the leader of that was Kenneth Hagin. But he didn't write these verses. Some people attribute to that, but he didn't write these verses. In verse 20 it says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Okay, have faith in God. Have God the source of the confidence that you walk in. Have God as the proof of who He's made you to be. Have faith in God. I don't have faith for something. I have faith in someone. Let me say that again because it's really an important designation. I don't have faith for something. I have faith in the one who has promised me that thing. What am I saying? God is my Savior. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my provider. Jesus is my assurance. Jesus is my confidence. Jesus is everything that I need. But listen, he goes on to talk. And again, these are some of the verses that you go, well, I tried that. It didn't work for me. Try and never gets the job done. You keep hearing until it becomes a reality to you. Do you know when you know that you know something, you just know it? You just know that you 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 know. I'll just give you this example before we go into that. When Renita and I were, well, actually before we got married, and we were engaged and we were going to be married in a few months, I was just praying one day and the Lord said, you're going to have two children. The first will be a boy. And the second will be a girl, and they'll be about 2 years apart. And I knew it was the Lord speaking to me. You know what we had? Two children. First was a boy, second was a girl. They're about 2 years apart. But I could have told you before we got married that that's what we were going to have. Why? Because I knew that God had spoken to me. And I had absolute confidence in what I heard. And that has to be the same way with us. And so if we're trying to get God to do something, we haven't heard yet. Now your head will argue with your heart. That goes without saying. But when you get that dropped into your heart, watch this. Just an example. If you're struggling with anxiety, keep going over fear scriptures and going over the scripture that says, the peace of God will guard my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. The peace of God will guard my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. The peace of God will guard my heart and mind. Instead of going, well, you know, this is wrong and that's wrong and this is wrong and we could get this and, you know, what's going to happen if this person isn't elected and what's going to happen if that, and what if this person dies or what if this person does, what if that, shut up. Because what you're doing is you're speaking into your fear. You're having faith in your fear rather than having faith in God. What if all of that happens? I don't care. Why? Because I'm going to be forever and ever and ever with Him. And if he said that I have the possibility of having his peace guard my heart and mind, I'm in. I'm in. Do you hear what I'm saying? There are some other things that are just powerful, but let's go on. I've only got a few minutes to finish. For assuredly, I like the King James, because the King James says, verily, verily. And that's why I learned to quote this verse. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. Right? Verily, what does that mean? Truly, truly. I'm not just saying this is true. I'm telling you this is true. This is for sure. This is an absolute certainty. Right? Listen to what he says. Whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. I skipped a verse. Verse 23. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. You notice that there's three times as much saying in this verse as there is believing. Why is that? Well, first of all, when it's just kind of enveloped in hope, you know, I hope this is true. I wish this was true. Could it be possible? That's when you have to say, no, wait a minute. And you're talking to yourself. Everybody say, I talk to myself. Often, right? I'm talking to myself. And I'm telling myself what God has said and what God has promised. So I'm saying with my mouth. I'm saying with my mouth. And saying it, you're hearing the word over and over and over and over again. And if you'll stick with it and stick with the word of God and the promises of God, there'll be a time where just like a quarter going into one of those old phone booths we had, remember? The drop in. Well, when I started, it was a dime, right? But don't laugh at me. I was a dime, right? But when you had it go in, you'd get a connection. You know, if there's something in the Word that, you know, boy, that'd be nice, but I'm not sure I've got that yet. That would be nice, but God has promised that, like peace. Well, Lord, I'm just going to keep saying it until I feel it click. That's good. Right? And when I feel it click, this will work. Right? For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things you say will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You can't have faith in God for anything outside of promises in his word. Back at school, I remember there were people that took a message like this and went, oh, bless God, I'm a believer, I'm going to believe. Lord, I'm going to believe for that one right over there to be my wife. And they just start claiming somebody that they never met before. I didn't do that. But watch this. Watch this. That's not promised in the Word of God. You can't have faith in God for that if it's not in the Word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Word of God was near me. It was in my heart and in my mouth. So I began to meditate on the Word of God. And it became a reality to me. And we'll get into this further because I'm just really introducing this. But we're going to spend about 4 weeks on this because it's important to understand that the change God wants in you is going to be produced by Him working in you and through you. And it's not necessarily your ability to just make it happen. Because if you make it happen, then you get all the glory. But if He makes it happen, we give Him all the glory and all the praise. I'm not the person I was before I got saved. You didn't know me then. I'm not the same. But it's because of His work inside of me. Right? So good. So good. We'll pick up there next week. But I just want to say this. I want to say that faith is not hard. Faith is easy. Because Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And when you start to try and focus and, oh God, I just got to believe, I got to believe. Stop it. And just keep meditating on the Word of God. Just keep meditating on the Word of God. We'll talk about that more, but just keep meditating on the Word of God. I am a believer. I'm not a doubter. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yea, I am more than a conqueror through Christ. Some people get the attitude, I can do anything I want. No. I can't do anything I want. But whatever God speaks to me to do, I can do. Whatever situation I'm in, if Jesus is with me, I can get through that. And I'm not going to go through it as one who is powerless, but I'm going to go operating in the power that He's given me in Jesus' name. Your faith is important. Your faith is not just about I'm saved. Your faith is about reigning in this life in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all get something this morning? Hallelujah. Let's pray. If I could have the worship team come up. If you're watching online, I just want you to know how much we appreciate you taking this time. And no matter what situation you're in, there's no condemnation to any of it. But just understand that God loves you. He's with you. He's for you. And the first step for anything from God, especially the greatest thing that can happen, salvation, is that you need to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that He is the Messiah. He is who He said He was. He is the one who took our sin. If you're listening online, if you're in the room, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or you're not walking with Him the way you know you should be walking, and this morning you just say, Pastor, I just want Jesus. I need more of Jesus. I want Jesus in my heart and my mind. And so I just want prayer. I want you to pray for me in Jesus' name. If that's you, if you're in the room, or if you're watching online, I'm just going to pray over you. And you just call out to Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, just like that time when you came into my heart, and I just ask you to be Lord of my life. You were so gracious to do it. And I thank you that you're the same here this morning. You'll be the same for all those watching online. It's not about joining this church. It's not about joining anything. It's about entering into a relationship with the Almighty God. He loves you. He's given Himself for you. Just come to Him. And maybe you've walked away. Maybe you've gotten bitter. Maybe you've gotten angry. Just release everything to God. Because He's caring for you. He's wanting a relationship with you. Just release yourself to His presence right now. He's there in your room. He's there when you're watching on the computer. He's there. And He's touching you. So let Him touch you. Father, I just thank You for reaching out for all those online and everybody that's in the room. And Lord, I thank You for being with us in Jesus' name. We're going to close with a worship song. We believe in laying hands on the sick. We believe in casting out devils. We believe that people can be filled with the Holy Spirit and receive their prayer language. And if you want prayer for any of those things, come on up afterwards. And remember, Easter Sunday is the easiest fishing that you'll ever have. So go out and do some fishing this week. Let's get these pews full in Jesus' name.